Hey, Bri.
How you doing today? Good morning. Hey, Bri, focus. How you doing? We're filming from Frankfurt today, just like we promised. Yes, we are live from Frankfurt, from the home of Brian and Riley Papp. Having a good time today, getting ready for another day of church at home. Church at home. This is Griffey. This is my grandpuppy. He is about to be 1 year old, I think, on May 1st. He is a bundle of energy. Loves snacks, don't you? What do you think of that? Oh, yeah, that's so good. He is a good guy. I'm so glad you joined us today. Today we're going to be doing something that you want another one? Okay, hold on. Oh, it's lost. There you go. Sit. Calm. We promised you last week that we were going to start having some people from our church share with you the ways in which they've marked up their Bible and they've been marked by the Bible. And today you get the chance to hear from Don and Misty Yost. Don and Misty remind me of Griffey. They make me smile. And so I hope that you will enjoy what they're about to share with us from the Word of God and from their lives. Let's go have some fun, Griff. Want to go outside and play?
Yeah, let's go. Oh, online church has been a lot of fun, and we've been trying to think of ways to continue to make it engaging and meaningful. One of the things we miss is being together, and we thought, hey, it'd be a good idea to maybe pull in some people who you see in the foyer, people who you hang out with, people who you love and miss. And we had an idea of connecting that with what we talked about on Easter, that idea of you mark up your Bible, and then there are verses you like, you appreciate. Well, how then has that verse marked you? So we're going to do this as a little segment every week. It's going to be some fun to go ahead and have some different people in. And we thought, what a great way to start. We're going to start with Don and Misty Yost. I mean, every Sunday, Don and Misty are right there. I promise you, if you're watching today, at some point, you have probably connected with one of these two people. If you're 20, you're probably here because of them, because they're the ones that have started that group that has connected so many of our young families, and we've loved that. They've been a part of Southfield forever, and they've been a part of my life for a long time. I love them dearly. It's great to have them here today. So, I thought we'd let you start by just saying hi to everybody and give everybody a big virtual hug. So go ahead and do some talking.
Hey, Southfield, we miss you. Oh, my heart. We totally cannot wait till we can hug you, high five you, hear all your stories about COVID-19, staying at home and making it interesting. Mm-hmm. Man, we love you and we miss you for sure.
Yeah, we do. It's one of my most favorite parts is just seeing the different faces of all of you coming in that door, and that's something that I have truly missed, and I can't wait to get back to it. So yeah, love you guys. Big hugs.
Yeah.
So the room you're in is pretty cool. Right now, it looks like you are the pastor, and I'm stuck in a bunker somewhere in Anchorage or whatever, but everybody is probably curious. Have you read all the books behind you?
We've read a lot
Most of them.
Oh, good. Okay. So one of the things I'm curious about, asked Brian last week when we were doing this marked up, marked by, are the two of you or either of you, are you Bible markers? Do you highlight? Do you write in your Bible or do you not? Do you have a special Bible that you like to write in and one that you don't? What's your philosophy of marking up the Bible?
Okay.
I mark up.
You're a marker.
I write all over.
She's a mark up. I used to mark in one of my original Bibles. It was an old King James Bible.
Uh-huh.
And that's really where I memorized a lot of my scripture. But as I've moved on in different Bibles, I've actually now gone to the iPad, and that's what I bring. And I jump right on YouVersion every Sunday morning, and mm-hmm. So that's what I've been using. But boy, to be able to mark in that is so easy. I mean, just to touch a verse and it's marked. So it's really nice.
You connect in, you know, because you can connect in as an event. We offer it as an event on Sunday morning. Do you connect in as an event and then keep your notes that way? Or do you just keep your notes as you're just using the YouVersion Bible?
How do you do it? Oh yeah, that's me. No, I don't actually connect in on Sunday morning. I go through scripture as we're going through it. So I have not done that yet.
Cool.
And I bring my paper Bible.
So are you, Misty, do you like, will you write sermon notes or sermon points in there?
Yes,
or
correct.
So it's,
I can go back like 20 years with you, Dennis, in my Bible.
Okay. Cool.
Good times.
So it's both what you're doing on Sunday and personal reflection. You use it for both.
Correct.
Good deal. Yeah, I actually, for me, I have Bibles that I marked, but then I also have a couple of them that I leave very blank because I want to kind of hit it fresh every time. And I know that if I see a marking, my brain will be taken back there. But I love that you mark them. So who wants to go first? Because we're both going to talk about different passages that you have marked up and are marked by. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Sure, I'll go first. My verses are out of Matthew. And 22 is the chapter, verses 37 through 39.
Okay.
Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he said, the second command flows in with the first, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. So, you know, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, where this is first greatest command is brought to light, to this, it's come back and back to me. You know, there's a lot of commands in the Bible, but Jesus simplifies it for us and breaks it down. And so if you think, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Your heart, it's the pumping part of your body. It's the physicality. It keeps you living. It's life. Mm-hmm. And then with your soul, it's like your deepest longings, your hidden desires, your longings. And then your mind, it's everything you do in thoughts and decision making and how you take data in and process it out, what consumes your head. And he says to love the Lord your God with all three. Mm-hmm. So be totally consumed. And then he says the other flows into the first, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. And who's your neighbor? So I know you like doing word searches, and I do too, but neighbor in the old English, I didn't go Greek or Hebrew because hello, yeah, that's a little bit harder, but neighbor in the old English is anybody near to you. So he's my neighbor.
Yeah.
Then I have other family members. I have Southfield peeps. Mm. I have my physical neighbor and my coworker. So anybody that's near to you. And he says to love them better than yourself. Mm. And so I love, and anybody that knows me, I love this illustration. What's the middle letter in sin?
I.
I. Mm-hmm. All right. If you remove I, you have S and N. So say no to I. And you get rid of that sin. All right. S-I-N. No. Get rid of that sin and all, get rid of yourself and your desires. And you're saturated with the first command of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Then it just flows. Mm. God's desires become your desires, and that love on other people is shown in amazing supernatural power. And I think really, Dennis, in a time like this, this verse has really been coming to my mind because we're so saturated with why me?
Yeah, right.
I gotta do this again.
Right.
I'm stuck here. I'm mad about whatever, like the grr that you put on your post, right? And God wants to change our desires to be more like him and get our focus off ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the only way we can do that is to be into him in our heart, soul, and mind to change our wants and desires so that we get our focus off ourselves and what we can be doing during this funky time. that we got going.
Yeah. That is all really good. I love that you point out that Don is your neighbor. You know, when people talk about love my neighbor as myself or love your neighbor as yourself, we tend to leave out the people that are right in our house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in this season, when we're in our house more than normal, God commands us to love that neighbor too. So I love that piece. It's a great insight. I don't know if this will put you on the spot, and if it's too much, that's okay. But I'm heart, soul, mind. Yes, we're supposed to love God out of all three. In this season, is there one you lean into more than another?
For me, my mind.
Okay.
So positives, negatives. I found that my mind, even going to bed and closing my eyes and the dreams I had, were reflected on what I was putting in.
Right.
So all the news, the Facebook posts and stuff was not creating a new heart and mind in my life.
Yeah.
Mind getting into God's word. He says, you know, to be totally consumed by him. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
We've been cut off from our family on Sundays.
Right.
And our small groups that we were meeting with. How do you get your mind, heart, and soul completely consumed? And it really, it's like washing your hands. We say, duh. Mm-hmm. People.
Yep.
That's how we know how to love.
Yeah.
That's how we consume our heart, soul, and mind, is we've got to be in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's taken on a whole new meaning. For sure.
Yeah. Again, great insight, because I think when all of this started, a lot of us, you know, we're looking for information. We're trying to figure out what's happening. Am I going to get sick? How long is this going to last? And so we turn on the news, if you want to call it that. We go to social media. We go to these places looking for information. And all it does, it's not feeding us information. It's feeding us things that are either aggravating us or making us sad or whatever. And we find ourselves just kind of going deeper and deeper into darkness. And as much as we can, pushing that stuff away and bringing God's word in it's huge. It is huge. I can't speak strongly enough. I mean, a great, great insight. Very, very good. We really need that. So
Amen. Thanks
so much. Well done. She did a fantastic job. Let's hope you can just as well. What do you got?
Yeah, your verse. So my verses are from Matthew 14. So we're both in Matthew, but yeah, Matthew 14 verses 28 and 29.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read it real quick. It says, "And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water."
Mm.
He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Those verses for me early on, you know, I probably, you know, passed right over, you know, neat, really cool Bible story. But it wasn't until I got a little older and started coming to, you know, Rock Run or Southfield.
Mm-hmm.
And you had done a series on getting out of the boat.
Yeah.
And that to me at that point, that's the story I needed. And as a young man joining a new church, it was something that I needed to hear. And from that series on, I really told God, I said, you know what, if there is something that you want me to do, I want to be like Peter and say, just command me, tell me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out of the boat.
Wow.
And so no matter what came to pass, no matter what, if I was asked to speak or if I was asked to join join the high school group or even, you know, get into the infant room, you know,
right,
whatever it was that was really, you could tell that was God led.
Yeah.
I wanted to, without hesitation, say yes.
Mm.
And I think really the cool thing is I know those two verses, really, that's what I look to, but just hearing 30 and 31, really kind of solidifies it. And it says, "But when he saw the wind," this is Peter, "he was afraid, And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Mm. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you have doubt?" And to me, that's like the anchor right there, is that, okay, I'm going to get out of my boat, right? I'm going to take the chance that I know that God's got me. Mm. And no matter what happens, whether though I get scared, because I'm going to, whether I get prideful, I'm going to, there's going to be times where I just don't think I can do it. And the cool thing is I don't have to do it. Right. It's all God. So no matter what God's calling me to get out of the boat for, I know that he's got me.
Yeah. It really timely quoting of that verse. And it goes back even to what Misty was saying, that idea that we get our eyes on the wind. Well, you can't see wind. You see the effects of the wind. You mm-hmm. get your eyes on the waves. You get your eyes on all the things going around you, and you begin to sink. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. It's so easy to do that instead of keeping our eyes on Christ. So we're recording this on Wednesday night, so we've not yet done the message for the weekend, but I know where the message is going. And it's ironic and beautiful that verse 28 starts with Peter saying, "Lord, if it's you." Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking this weekend about believing, and how many times in these Bible stories was a person not sure that it was Jesus, mm-hmm. especially, you know, after the resurrection, not sure that it was Jesus. "Lord, if it's you." And I think we all need to kind of ask that question in our lives of, there are things going on around us that God is at work in them. And we really almost need to out loud, "Lord, is that you? Is that you?" And in the process, he says, "Yes, it is. Would you get out of the boat? Come on, walk on the water, join me, get into this." So, they're both great passages. Appreciate them so much. Either of you want to add anything at this point?
No. Read up, people.
Yeah, keep in the word.
Well, let me do this. Normally this is the point at which the pastor prays, right? But I think it would be great. Would both of you mind going ahead and praying for us? Wherever you take it, you've not been warned that I was going to ask you to pray. So you just go where you want, but we'd love to hear both of you pray over us.
For sure. Yeah. Lord Jesus, I praise you and thank you. Number one, that we have you. And we know that you're sovereign, and that nobody here on earth is in control, but you are. You created the earth. You have a plan. Lord, we might not understand it now, but you have a plan. And we thank you for that. We thank that our foundation is solid and firm, and that we can stand on it and shout your name and know that you're there to carry us through. Lord, we want to love you with our heart, soul, and mind. Help us to do that. Help us to know how to, by reading your word daily and really just eating up the words you have for us. That during this time that you've given us, that we said, you know, in our life previous to COVID, we didn't have time to get in the word, but now you're like, "Here you go." Lord, help us to make good working with our time that you've given us. Help us to memorize your word. Help us to get in it. Encourage others. Lord, grow us. Help us to be more powerful than anything that we can ever imagine when we come out of this, Lord. And we know that we will, because you're in control. Mm-hmm. Lord, we love you. We thank you in your name.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you now. And Lord, again, we thank you for your being with us throughout this time. Lord, I think of all the issues that different people are having, whether they've gotten COVID or they've known someone that has it, they're dealing with worrying about family or elderly loved ones. And Lord, I thank you that you tell us that you'll be there with us, and that you're there to comfort us. Lord, I pray that you help us to stay in prayer. Like Misty said, just to be in the word, to concentrate on the things that really matter, and where we put our trust. Lord, we just, we're so thankful for the love that you show us, even in the midst of all of this. Lord, help us to, help us to lean on you more, help us to trust you more, help us to be able to get out of the boat no matter what. And Lord, we thank you and we love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I know one of the things that'll be helpful here, you know, a lot of people just love the opportunity to have a moment to connect and to see you and all that. So both of you are still going into work. Misty, you're one of the people we're praying for as a healthcare worker, and Don, you're in there making the widgets every day. Actually,
there you go.
Actually making the machines that make the meat. You should see us all talk in an overseer meeting when Don starts talking about the meat that they bring in. Oh, it's the best. But especially curious, how are Elam and Naya handling all of this right now? How are they doing?
You want to talk on Naya?
So Naya is adding weight to the Yost family. She's an incredible baker and cook. Ah,
okay.
Which is good because I am not Betty Crocker, but we've been eating a lot of fun, different things. You know, it's tough.
What year is she?
She's a junior.
Junior. Okay. Okay.
So she is doing the e-learning. And with her competitive personality, she's completing all the assignments A+.
Nice.
But it's a growing time. We're learning new things. She just built a desk for a room. I mean, it's good stuff.
Okay, good.
Right.
Yeah, Elam's doing good. So he is
home, is he home or still at school?
No, what he's doing right now is actually right kind of in the thick of the whole COVID-19 when it started.
Okay.
Him and I traveled to Arizona where he started an internship at a nuclear power plant there.
Oh, okay.
And so he is definitely
essential worker.
Okay.
Keeping power on and
working 4/12 nights.
Yeah. So anyway, so he is in this plant, doing nights and comes home, sleeps during the day. He's got a great apartment where he's at. Pretty much stays to himself, but he did get out before they started shutting things down and got to hike some places out in Arizona. But he is going into work and working hard and learning. So they've even actually provided them boxes of meals of food. Wow. Wow. Just to keep them out of stores. So
wow.
Kind of keep them out of harm's way. So he's doing well though. He's doing very well.
Awesome. Good stuff to hear. Good to catch up. Well, thank you again. Everything you shared was amazing. And I know we're going to be feasting on that. That's really good stuff. So your family, your Southfield family loves you incredibly. We're so appreciative, grateful that God brought you our way and that your roots have grown so deeply into us and ours into you. And we'll be thinking of you and praying for you as we are everybody. As we go through this, can't wait to get back into that space and get hugs and give hugs. And
yes.
I'm saying that. Can you believe it? I'm ready. I'm ready for this. So good to see you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
In Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Who by worrying can add to their life?"
Pandemic.
Do not worry about tomorrow. Pagans run after these things.
National emergency.
Philippians 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
My sheets are melting so fast.
Latest missile launch.
An interesting fact about humanity is that whatever you feed grows.
A financial pandemic.
If you feed your faith, it grows. If you feed your fears, they grow.
It's all spiraled very quickly.
It's going to get worse.
Some have to live and some have to die.
Realize that our time is better spent talking to the Father than getting all worked up and reading and feeding our minds with the news and the media about what everybody is saying about how this is doom and gloom and how money, which we have hoped in, is lost. Hope not in money. Hope in your Father, your God, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Have your faith and use it. Walk according to it. Whatever you feed grows. This is the time to press into the church, lean into the church, to be surrounded by God's people. We can offer prayers for one another. We can offer hope to one another. We can speak words of truth to one another. If you feast on the word of God and you renew your minds around the truth, your faith, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you go to the news and you read article after article after quote after talking head and you continue to feed those fears, they grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Whatever you feed grows. Today, did you wake up this morning and feast on the word of God and go to him in prayer? Or did you feed your fears?
Well, I'm really glad that we got a chance to spend some time with Don and Misty today. Those two have a way of cheering you up, and the message that Misty brought about what we focus on is so relevant to today. I know that for a lot of us, if we've got our faces buried in the news and buried in social media, we probably find our spirits just continually being taken down. And some of the news is hard. You know, to have the governor on Wednesday say, hey, we're closed down until May 31st, that is hard news. It's hard to bear. And so we need to have our minds and our hearts in the right places. And obviously, from what we saw in the video, Scripture is so important. A couple of weeks ago, we recommended that you go ahead and jump on to the Dwell app. That organization has offered a subscription for free for 60 days. We burned through, I think, the first 30. But it's great to be able to take in Scripture by way of listening. So if you've not done that yet and you're interested in it, this is your text-in moment this week. So if you'd like to try it out, go ahead and text us at 815-290-9595. I'll say it again, 815-290-9595. And go ahead and give us your email address. We'll send you an invitation so that you can go ahead and jump on to the Dwell app.
I have confirmation that other people have been listening to Felix, and it is quite wonderful.
I love Felix. He's my favorite scripture reader ever. So let's go ahead and turn to scripture this morning. We're gonna be looking today at several of the stories that took place after the resurrection. I meet with a group on Monday night, and we went through the resurrection stories recently, and to see the theme there once again, it was really amazing, especially in light of the series that we're in right now. I you know, when we're filming, what happens sometimes is we'll say something that is positively brilliant. It's just amazing, mind-blowing. And then for some reason, we get cut off and we have to do a do-over. And it's only after we produce the video that we realize, oh my word, the brilliant thought was left out. Well, last week's brilliant thought was the fact that Shelley had said, hey, you know what we should nickname these? We should call these Devos with Dennis. And I'm like, oh, well, it should be Dennis and Brian, of course, because it's both of us. But anyway, so we got kind of this devotional theme going here. And we're picking up on the theme from Easter, which was about being contagious. What does it mean? We looked at what it meant to be a contagious church. Now, what does a contagious Christian look like? And so last week, we looked at how fear can be incredibly contagious, but so can courage, which is the Christian character trait. Today, this one may sound a little weird, but I want to talk about the ways in which believing is contagious. A believer by nature believes, right? So it's kind of like, really? You're saying that a person who believes, a believer, is contagious? Yeah, I think by the time we're done, you'll see where we're going. So these stories are really incredible, and I'm looking at most of them from right at the end of the book of John. John loves the word believe. He plays on this is where John 3:16 is found, right? Say it. You know it. God so
loved the world
that he
gave his
only
son
that whosoever
believes.
Believes, right. Believes. Believes is all over this book. And in fact, in John chapter 20, he's going through these stories. And in my Bible, it says, the purpose of the book. Now, that wasn't in Scripture, but it's just letting us know what's coming, right? It says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. So we ask the question, what is it about being a believer that's contagious? In what way is being a believer something that is infectious with other people? I want you to look at some stories right now. Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and we know that in John 20, Mary Magdalene, and in fact from Luke we find out it's not just Mary Magdalene, but the other Marys head off to the tomb because they want to anoint the body of Jesus, pay respects to Jesus. And they show up, and the stone is rolled away. And they're kind of blown away. And we know that Mary jumps immediately to the thought that his body's been stolen. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the order of the stories, she runs back to tell the disciples, Jesus' body is gone. Can't find him. So John and Peter run to the tomb. Remember, John gets there first. Peter runs in, looks in the tomb. Sure, it's empty. The grave clothes are laying there. The face napkin is laid separately. They see it. They don't know what to make of it. They're kind of confused about this whole thing. They leave. Then Mary Magdalene sticks around in John chapter 20. She stays, and she's it says Mary was weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stood to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laid, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So clearly, I mean, we're not just theorizing here. Mary believes that Jesus' body has been stolen. James or Peter and John have no idea. They're like, what in the world? What in the world is going on here? What happened? And we have this beautiful moment where all Jesus has to do is say the name of Mary. He just says her name and boom, lights go on. And she goes from, if we could say it this way, believing in who Jesus is to believing this is Jesus. No doubt. Now there's a story that takes place in between here that is not in John, but it's found over in the book of Luke. We have the pair of disciples that are walking on the road back to Emmaus. So they're headed back to Emmaus, and as they're walking, they're joined by a third person. And the third person is wondering, you know, so what's been going on, guys? And they're like, what do you mean what's going on? Are you the only person in the area that has no clue what's happened the last few days? And they go on to tell him the story of how Jesus had been crucified and really talk about the tremendous grief that they're feeling over the loss of their Savior. So they get involved in this beautiful theological conversation with this man who's walking with them. They ultimately, when they come near to their home and say, they say, why don't you come stay the night? Because, you know, you didn't have the Motel 6 available. So good Christian hospitality was to invite someone in to stay with you. So they invite him on in. It says in Luke chapter 24, verse 30, when he was at the table with them, they took bread, and he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. It says their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and then he vanished from their sight. Now they say to one another, did our hearts not burn within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened scripture to us? Here's what I see taking place here. These are two followers of Jesus. Remember we said there were the 12 and then there are the 120. So these are legitimate disciples of Jesus. And they are certainly people who would claim they believed in Jesus. Mm-hmm. They believed in God. But there's something in this moment that they go from believing in to believing. Their heart burned within them. There was a deeply embedded belief that took place. When their eyes were open, then they realized it was not just they were affirming facts. They were affirming something they knew, but they believed. They truly believed. So, meanwhile, back at the ranch. You go back over to John chapter 20. Jesus leaves Emmaus and, boom, he appears in the upper room. He appears in the upper room. The disciples are there, and he appears to them. Now, the disciples have already heard from Mary Magdalene, I've seen the Lord. So when Jesus appears in the upper room, we don't have the response that we have some of the other times where people are saying, who is this guy? You know, they actually pretty much from the beginning recognize him as being Jesus. But we know from the story that one of the disciples is not present. Thomas is not present. It's interesting because we refer to Thomas as doubting Thomas. And this is one of the reasons, right? Jesus leaves. Thomas comes to see the others. And they say, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas says what? I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. I'm kind of reading this through again this week and thinking about this. 11 of your friends, plus whoever else was in the room, is saying, we saw Jesus. And Thomas says, nope, can't be true. Have you ever met anybody like that? See, in Greek, we would call them a jerk, right? I mean, what kind of person listens to all those friends and says, nah, wasn't true? People call him doubting Thomas. I don't see him as a doubter. He's a cynic. He's a skeptical cynic. And, you know, sadly, in our day and age, I think a lot of people, when it comes to belief in God, they're not doubters, they're cynical. They're just cynical and they're skeptical. They're not putting in the honest work to determine whether or not Jesus is real or not, whether or not the Bible is true. In reality, skepticism and cynicism is easy. It's lazy thinking. It's not even thinking through the facts. It's just going, ah, you're just an idiot, blah, you know. And the funny thing about skepticism and cynicism is that it can actually be funny, right?
Yeah.
You can actually have, it can be easy and funny to mock somebody for what they believe. It's far more difficult to put in the hard work to actually come to a place of saying, I believe. Well, we know that Thomas has issued the challenge when Jesus does appear, because Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I can touch the holes in his hands and touch the place where the spear went into his side. And so Jesus appears and says, here you go, Thomas. The Bible says Thomas doesn't even take the time to touch. He just says, my Lord and my God. And in that moment, he goes from believing in to believing, to really believing. There's a beautiful piece of this because Jesus then says to Thomas, in the presence of the others, you believed because you have seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know what I love about that verse? It is one of the handful of verses in the Bible that we can say that was written directly to us. Other verses we look at and we own them, but this is, we're the people who have not seen and yet believe. The question is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe about God? Or do you believe? Do you really believe? A couple other stories. It's a little bit later that the disciples are out fishing, and they've fished all night, and they've not caught a thing in John chapter 21. And they see a guy up on shore, and the guy up on shore says, take your nets, throw them to the other side. And they do. And the Bible, I love it, it says they caught 153 fish. Only a fisherman would know how many fish they caught. And by the way, it says large fish, yeah. Large fish. So 153 big fish in our net. And it said, by the way, the nets did not rip, which I think that authenticates the message, because a fisherman in that time, if they heard you had caught 153 large fish, their response would have been, surely the net broke. It would be like us saying, I caught an 18-pound northern pike on a 2-pound line. No, you did not.
Right.
No, you did not. So this authenticates the reality of what happened here. They pull the fish out, and immediately they're looking, and they're like, it's Jesus. They jump in the water. They head to him. But part of what's intriguing about this story, I just kind of get a kick out of it. They get to shore, And the Bible tells us that they say, it says in verse 12 of chapter 21, "Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?'" It says they knew it was the Lord. I kind of get a kick out of this piece that even after having been with him, they're still kind of going, "Is it really him? Is it really Jesus? Is it really him?" Time and time again in these stories, we have people who had been around Jesus. They had been with the Lord. And yet after his death, burial, and resurrection, when they see him, their initial reaction is not, "Of course it's Jesus." Their initial reaction is, "What in the world is going on here?"
You know, as you were talking about Thomas, it made me think about two of my best friends in the whole world, Michael Redican and Sam Mateer. They are diehard Cub fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, prior to 2016, we'd been able to rib them for not winning for 108 years and all that. And they had the utmost faith in that team that they were going to win. Mm-hmm. Like, their belief down to the ninth inning of Game 7 of that 2016 World Series, they're talking and they're saying, "We're going to win this." But at the same time, you could see their toes were tapping. They were starting to sweat. They were really nervous because I don't think they believed that they were going to win until that trophy was actually in their hands. Yeah. And that ring was, yeah, on their finger. Yeah. Until it was officially real and there.
Yeah.
Like Thomas had Jesus in the room.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of a ridiculous comparison to make.
No, I think it's a good comparison. There's, yeah, I believe in it, mm-hmm, but then I believe it. I'm holding it in my hands. I believe it. Yeah. And that is the piece that's contagious. It's not contagious if I simply believe in something. Right. It's when it goes to the point that I actually own the words. It's so real to me. It's just so real to me. So here's what is curious to me. We look at all these stories and the reactions of, you know, literally every time, "Is it him? We're not really sure. Who is that? You know, is it a ghost?" I asked you earlier to Google Jesus predicts his death. Yeah. Read us a couple of the verses that came up when you did that.
Well, the first two that popped up, the first is Matthew 16:21. And says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and then on the third day be raised." The second one that popped up was Mark 8:31. There it says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again."
Okay, so both of those verses, would you describe those as highly cryptic and veiled?
Yeah, I would expect that based on what Jesus was telling them, that he would turn himself into a tangerine.
Yeah, kind of not, right?
No.
It correct. Couldn't be more obvious.
Exactly.
It is, yeah, black and white. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. Yeah. So they come to an empty tomb, and Mary's immediate conclusion, "Oh, a thief." You know, their immediate conclusion, "Can't be Jesus. He's dead. Where'd he go?" Right. How in the world could they have missed it? But you know what? We do the same thing. And I think that's where our faith is less than contagious, because we believe in God. We believe in faith concepts, but I don't know that we always actually believe them. And it's when we believe them, it's when we believe him, that's when our faith becomes contagious. So Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call on me and I will answer you. Call on me and I will answer you. If you pray to me, I'm going to answer you." So let me just share a few things with you. I read the other day a message from Pam Maestro. We've been praying for her friend, Jennifer. Jennifer contracted COVID-19, severe case, ended up on a ventilator, and we know the stats are telling us, you end up on a ventilator, 80% of the people that end up on a ventilator die. She gets this message from Jennifer's husband, Scott. "This is Scott again. I have an update on Jennifer's conditions. She's back to a regular room, breathing on her own, no more shortness of breath, no more headaches, no more fever. She's able to eat regular food again, and she could talk on the phone for a little bit. She's just very weak after laying in bed for 12 hours a day. She'll soon be released from the hospital. That's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. She's not the only one we've been praying for. We've been praying for Debbie Steele's friend, Sam Gianji. And so she sent me a message last night, which would be, let's see, this is Friday, Thursday night. She says, I have this message for you from Sam's brother. While we definitely serve a mighty God that hears and answers prayer, Sam was awake and watching TV when I called him at the hospital. Obviously, Sam is weak and has a long road ahead of him after being in a coma for over 3.5 weeks. He says, thank you for your prayers. And then he goes on to talk about the fact he's just so overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed with the fact that God still does miracles like this and that he brought his brother basically back from the dead. It's mind-blowing. We prayed, folks. We prayed on the 19s. We prayed for people who are literally on ventilators. 80% of them do not make it. Two of them. We prayed for them, and they're back. They're back. Think about this one. You know, we've been talking about Green Lake and Green Lake Conference Center, and I was sharing with the kids the other day about Green Lake. The staff at Green Lake at the beginning of the year started praying fervently. They were under $3.5 million of debt, and that debt was crushing them. They prayed for 40 days and then for another 7. And it was in that season, right toward the end, I think it was like right toward the end of the 40 days, that they got a call from the person who holds their debt and said, your debt is going to be forgiven. That debt forgiveness was finalized on March 20th, 3/20. Ben, for years, has claimed a verse for the Green Lake Conference Center, Ephesians 3:20. Let me read it to you. Now, all glory be to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in his church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, not just Paul's generation, ours too, forever and ever. Amen. Do you know that if that debt hadn't been forgiven, there would not be another future trip to Green Lake. There's no way that they would have made it through this season of shutdown, carrying that tremendous burden of debt. We prayed on the 19s, folks. We prayed for people who are ventilators. We've prayed for ministries like Green Lake. We've been praying for them. Do you believe God answers your prayers? Or do you just believe in the concept of God and the concept of prayer? Not too long ago, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, said something pretty shocking in an interview. He was talking about the comeback in New York, the coronavirus cases going down, the deaths going down. And he said this, our behavior has stopped this virus. God did not stop the virus. A little later, he said something like this. The number is down because we brought the numbers down. God didn't do that. Fate didn't do that. Destiny didn't do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. I grew up in New York. I was a kid under Governor Mario Cuomo. I've known of Andrew Cuomo for quite a while. Both of them claim to be really good Catholics. To come out and say, God did not do that. That's about as atheistic a comment as you can make. And you may look at that, and you're a little bit, you're frustrated with it. You may even be a little bit revolted by it. How can someone say that? Well, I ask you, when I say, God listened to our prayers on the 19s, and because of that, Jenny and Sam are on the road to wholeness. do you say, praise God, he answers prayer? Or do you say, that's nice. But in reality, the difference maker was the ventilator. The difference maker was the care the doctor provided. The difference maker was science. The difference maker was the fact that we live in the 20th century and they had quality care. You see, we can rip on someone like Andrew Cuomo for his verbal expression of a lack of faith. But there are many times that we, like Mary Magdalene, like the disciples, like Thomas, don't truly believe the words of God. John said these things were written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not so that you believe about Jesus. Not so that you'd hold on to the concept of Jesus and the concept of answered prayer, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what's contagious? Not when you believe in something, but when you believe it. When your heart burns within you. I'm telling you what, this COVID season gives us a chance to have our faith truly tested. To ask the question, not just do I believe about God, not even just do I believe in God, but do I believe God? Do I believe him? Do I believe him that when he says, pray and I'll listen, that is the very best thing the Church of Jesus Christ can do? That is our calling. That is our destiny. And if we don't live into our calling, if we don't live into our destiny, to be perfectly honest, we're just singing some songs, shaking some hands, and wasting our time. We are wasting our time. God is calling his church to believe. When we finally believe that way, we will be contagious. And so, Father God in heaven, I pray that you will give us the disease of belief. I pray that we would finally come to a place in our walk of faith that we would not just be Christians in theory. We would not just be Christians in knowledge. We would not just be Christians in knowing some good Bible verses, but we'd actually believe that when you say something, you mean it. You are the God of the universe. You are in control of all things. This whole thing that's happening right now, this isn't a mystery to you. This isn't a surprise to you. You know what's happening. You're in control of all things, and you can be trusted. Help us, God, to believe, to truly believe. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Took time in the sermon to talk about the miracle that's happened at Green Lake, and it really has been a miracle. Part of the reason we talked about the miracle is because of some of the hardship of this year. And last Sunday afternoon, you had a meeting with the students and had to relay disappointing news that's out of our control, but it is what it is. You want to share that with the whole church?
Yeah, I know that a lot of you have already heard this news, but in case you haven't, this year's work trip to Green Lake Conference Center has officially been canceled. Unfortunately, for us, the Wisconsin governor has been pretty proactive in keeping numbers small and shutting things down. So the conference center is actually closed to groups until July. And they're hoping to be able to host groups again starting at the end of July, but that would just be phase one. And we all know about the phases and how it starts small and then grows. There would be no way for us to be accommodated for our trip this year. So it is truly heartbreaking. For me, it's heartbreaking for the kids who it was going to be their first time. I know that there have been some family members, some little brothers, little sisters that have been waiting for so long to go on their first trip to Green Lake, along with some new junior hires who have joined our group this year who are excited about it. But we will be able to go back, and that's truly the miracle of it all. That's what can give us that strong belief that God knows what he's doing and he's taking care of us. The other group that I feel bad for, though, is our seniors. For some of them, this would have been their seventh or eighth trip. That's pretty incredible. We started something last year at Green Lake for our seniors in terms of honoring them in a special way. We had all of the kids do something different for our seniors. So there was one attribute that the seniors would hold, and then we would basically live it out in front of them all day. So Vivian Van Eck, for example, was one of our seniors last year, and she's a runner. So all day, one of the days, kids would come up to her and just run circles around mm-hmm. her just to lift her up and honor her. And all of our seniors had something like that. And we had great plans for that this year. To kind of take the place of that, we have four key seniors in our group right now who, because they're missing the trip, we wanted the chance to still honor them. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be interviewing them as a part of the service. And I'm really looking forward to that and get not mm-hmm. only getting to honor them, but getting to spend time with each of them.
It'll be great. And they're great kids.
They are great kids.
We have a great group of seniors. Mm-hmm. I look forward to the whole church getting to know them better.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good.
Yeah. So at this time, we do have offering, and you can do that in several ways. You can either do it through the website, through the Church Center app, or you can snail mail your checks to P.O. Box 576, Shanahan, Illinois, 60410. Again, not the church address because we don't have a mailbox there, but we say it every week, but we really, really appreciate your dedication to supporting us throughout this time.
So we alluded to it earlier. Our governor did let us know that we wouldn't be meeting at least through the end of May, which means we have five more Sundays that we'll be doing church this way. We are talking about what happens after that. The next phase, we're told, is we'll move to groups of 50, and so we're trying as best we can to figure out how we can do live and remain under the constraints that we are right now. So until then, we look forward to continuing to stay connected this way. I want to encourage you, it would be really easy during this season to start falling out of habits as it pertains to us being together. It's really important for your family to set a time every week, hopefully on Sunday, and to say, you know what, at noon every Sunday, we're doing church together. But just keep that habit going in your family. It's really important to do that. And we're doing our best to put together a teaching time that we hope keeps you engaged. Today we're filming from Frankfurt, and who knows, next week we may be moving to Minooka. So we just keep trying different places. We've been trying different things like sharing that way in which we've marked the word and we've been marked by it, bringing in our seniors. One of the other things that we talked about from the very first week, if you were to go on our website under, I think it's called Connect, there's a tab there called Resources. Click that, and you find two things there. One is called The Story. The Story is a description of how all of life works and how a relationship with God works. There's another one called The Story Maker, and that's especially for kids. The first week, we encouraged our kids to watch The Story Maker and then produce their own Story Maker film. Today, we get to share with you the world premiere of Alexander Kyle's video. This thing is fantastic. Now, I got to admit, you know, we needed a little bit of, what do they call those things? Closed captioning at the bottom. Some subtitles to be able to get the whole message. And I think our teachers are doing a great job. But to be honest, he wanders off the biblical script a little bit. In fact, he has Adam and Eve do what they should have done. They should have run from the snake. They shouldn't have stayed there. But I think you're going to love this. It's just it's a great way to end our day on a really cheerful, positive note. And you know what I love? This little guy, he believes. He believes. And it's the faith of a child. God wants us to have the faith of a child to believe that what he says is true. What he says will come to pass. So we hope you enjoy this time with Alexander as he tells us this story, and we look forward to seeing you again next Sunday.
In charge of the world and everything in it, just one certain tree. You God and an enemy. His name was Satan. He wanted the master. So Satan pretended to be a snake and trick from the one eating tree. He came around the tree. And they ran away. And it's the Mason. He's gonna leave the baby. Thank you, Gatorsky. Born of your baby. Happy baby, baby. Thank me that money. You know you're all yawn. Snakey, so sleepy, the baby is sleepy. Baby mamas go to sleepy weepy. He's gotta go to sleepy weepy. He's gotta go to sleepy weepy. To go to sleepy weepy. Yes, to go to sleep.
Who is that?
Good night. Little Jesus
got on the cross. And that happened later. And on the second week, Jesus came back to life. He came back to prove his love was bigger than sin. Yeah, he's fun. He's a great king. He'll be a part of God's forever story.